guys, welcome back. Oh my god, wait. You know when you have like a towel over your ears, like you have your hair in the towel and you like can't hear anything?
Yeah.
Okay, I guess I have to take my towel out. I just showered. Okay, now I can hear you, and or hear myself rather, and now I can begin. Hey guys, welcome back to Thick and Thin. My name is Katie Bellotti, and I'm sitting down tonight with my glass of red wine handy. We are going to be chatting about some very great subjects, per usual. Tonight I'm actually going to be discussing the concept of being burnt out. whoa, there's a voice crack. My voice is like slowly returning. I didn't record a podcast episode last week because my voice was actually completely gone. And I realized that to do a podcast, you actually need to have your voice. So, but yeah, tonight's episode is all about the idea, or the concept rather, of, you know, being burnt out, being kind of pressured in this day and age to constantly be doing something at all times, which I feel like is an issue that we all face, no matter what, you know, walk of life we lead, where we are in life, if we're in college or high school, or even, you know, how I am in the real world, or whatever you call this, I guess, post-grad living. So yeah, I think it's a very relevant subject. And, you know, as I usually do, I'm going to be pulling in some historical references and figures in history, like Harper Lee, just people that encountered, you know, the burnout culture and either reacted well or didn't react so well to the whole pressure that there is surrounding it. So I'm going to be talking about that tonight. But as usual, I'm going to be introducing tonight's sponsor really quick before we get started. Tonight's episode is sponsored by Zola, which is the wedding company that will do anything for love, which, you know, as you guys know, I'll do anything for love. I talk about love a little too much on the podcast, which is why tonight I'm actually not really talking that much about it. But tonight's episode is sponsored by Zola. Basically, they reinvent the wedding planning and registry experience. So if you're in the phase of life where you're planning a wedding or you know someone who is, check out Zola. Basically, they're the easiest way to plan your wedding and registry. So you start by setting up a free wedding website. It's so easy and it just takes minutes to set up. There's over 100 beautiful wedding website designs to choose from that fit any couple's style. And then from there, you build your dream registry at Zola. It's really just so easy. There's so many planning features all in one website, which, as you guys know, I'm very big on planning and also websites. I was actually social chair of my sorority, which isn't related to weddings at all, but I was very into planning things. And so when I end up nailing down one lucky guy, I always joke that my husband has it out for him. Like, I'm going to be maybe perhaps a bridezilla, who knows? I'm very, very into planning things down to the very, very like smallest granular of things that no one's probably going to notice except for me. Yeah, so that's going to be the kind of a synopsis of my future wedding day. But yeah, Zola makes things easy. It's all online, which is nice. I always love going to like a one-stop shop type of website to get everything done. So you can set up a website and a registry, including brands like Southwest, Hulu, Home Depot, Airbnb, Cuisinart, did I say that right? Not to mention save the dates, invitations, and easy to use planning tools to help you with the entire process, which I'm sure is going to take a village for me. But yeah, per usual, I have a great deal for you guys. So to get started with creating your free wedding website and also getting $50 off your registry on Zola, go to Zola, that's Zola.com/HelloKatie. So that's hello, K-A-T-Y, to get started with creating your own free, beautiful wedding website and registry. So yeah, that's it for tonight's sponsor. Thank you to Zola for sponsoring tonight's episode. And now let's get on with the juicy, juicy podcast. Okay, so I suppose we should back up and I'll talk about what kind of, you know, spawned this podcast topic in my brain, because there's always something and usually it's not as like poetic and beautiful as I like it to be. It's like something kind of ordinary that occurs and I'm like, wait a second, this would make a very, very good podcast episode topic. So yeah, I was actually the other night, I was going down to the local like convenience store below me because I needed to get, I don't know what I was trying to get. I think I was getting like popsicles, probably. Honestly, it probably was popsicles. Because my new thing is popsicles, because I've been like not feeling great in the throat department. I've always had like a number of throat problems growing up. Like I think my tonsils need to be removed and I'm very, very like I'm scared. I'm really scared because I hear it hurts more when you grow up and like get older. So I'm just kind of like dreading the day that I might have to get them out. That's not related to the podcast, but you know, little tidbit of information for you guys there about my throat. But I was going down to get popsicles like a normal human being does. It's like 10 minutes probably for the full adventure of going downstairs, getting popsicles, checking out and coming back up. So I left my phone in my room because it was charging and I didn't need it, I guess. And I was like, I'll just let it charge. Because it's going to die the second I unplug it, so might as well. So I left my phone in my apartment, which I hate to admit this, but I am very, very rarely, like, aside from when I'm sleeping, without my phone. It is a huge part of my day-to-day, not only because I work with social media at my 9-to-5 job, but then also I just need my phone. I don't know. I'm one of those crazy Gen Z / millennials that needs her phone at all times. I feel like it's not completely abnormal, but it is definitely something I know is toxic, but it's like one of those things where like you just, it's like a guilty pleasure, but it's like not so guilty anymore, you know, like everyone needs their phone. So yeah, I left my phone in my apartment and I like felt naked, like one does whenever my phone dies. And I just was downstairs and it was kind of a nice night, which is saying a lot considering how cold it is here recently. And so after getting my popsicles or whatever I was getting, I was just walking around. Like I went for a little walk. And when I say a little walk, I walked to like one street over and then walked back, but it was a walk nonetheless. And I was just out. It was just probably like, I don't know, guys, like 9 o'clock at night. And they're classic New York, a million people around, even when it's 9 p.m. And they were all walking so fast. Like I was just strolling, had nowhere to be for once. And so I was like, you know, walking around my slippers, like, you know, just taking in the sights without my phone. And I was just shocked, guys, by how many people were just around, but like also walking so fast. Like, where are they going? Where are you going at 9 p.m. at night? I understand like in the morning before work, or like if you're late to work, or like after work, but like 9 o'clock at night, I guess some people do have late jobs and whatnot, but I was just marveling at like how fast everyone was walking. And, you know, ever since this happened last week, I've been just kind of monitoring like the walking speeds of people in New York. And I'm like, oh my God, these people do not stop for anyone. Like they would just walk right in front of a car if it meant getting to work faster. And like, it's just crazy. And I know it's not just New York, but like this is where I've noticed it most, because in college in North Carolina, people are slow as molasses. Let me tell you that. Like, don't try to rush anywhere or be late anywhere in North Carolina, because you're going to get stuck behind like a cow or something. I'm just kidding. That's a joke. That's like such a bad joke too, because the South is not okay. Anyway, but that was what initially kind of spurred this idea in my head, and it was kind of marinating as the other kind of bits and pieces started, you know, working its way into this whole narrative in my head. You know, people in New York walk so fast. And I feel like when I first came to New York, I had this whole vision of, you know, you go the places in life where you feel most alive, you know, whether that means, you know, somewhere in, you know, a slower part of town, like, or part of the world, like, you know, down south, like I just mentioned in North Carolina, and you want kind of the slow life. Even then, it's still pretty stressful. It's stressful anywhere you go. Everyone's stressed everywhere, no matter if you're in, like, I don't know, the tropics or in, you know, the tundra. People are stressed about various things, and everyone's stress is so different. But, you know, I feel alive here, don't get me wrong, but I find myself sometimes having these moments where I'm like, I wish I could just wake up tomorrow in like a very quiet southern town, or like somewhere in the middle, the Midwest, somewhere, you know, just kind of off the grid. Not to say that those places like the South and the Midwest are completely off the grid, but like there are places in those places that are off the grid. There's places, heck, in New York that are off the grid, so to speak. And I always just kind of want that life, but then I realized, you know, for so many different reasons that's not feasible. I'm like, I need to, you know, get this bread or whatever the people are saying these days. And, you know, got me thinking, like, you know, it can get pretty suffocating sometimes, guys, this life that we live. No matter where we are, we have this debilitating, like almost kind of suffocating pressure to constantly be doing something, constantly be performing, even if we like don't really know why. You know, sometimes we don't even know why that we're just pushing ourselves to the point of exhaustion. Like I remember in high school, I worked on the newspaper and I was editor-in-chief of the newspaper by senior year. I worked on it from freshman year to senior year. I was like so dedicated. As you guys know, I didn't have a million friends in high school. So it was the thing I poured all of my energy in besides YouTube. And I was so passionate about it, still am passionate about journalism. It's one of my like
you know, long lost loves that I sometimes unearth and I'm like, why did I ever stop doing this? But I remember every morning we came in before school started to like get the issue out and distribute it. We'd like go out and, you know, when the doors open for the day, we'd be handing out the newspaper, like extra, extra style, you know? And I remember coming in, you know, coffee in hand and just people, you know, everyone else on the paper coming in. And I remember this one guy, his name is Dan, and he, I don't actually know what he's doing these days, but I know he's doing something great, like has got to be doing something like so mind-bogglingly great because he is the hardest worker that I know, or I guess did know. And I remember one time him coming in and being like, oh, guys, I got 3 hours of sleep last night. And everyone was like, oh my God, like that's so crazy. But like no one felt bad for him. It was like, oh my God, wow, you are working so hard. You're probably doing so well for yourself. Like 3 hours of sleep, wow. Like I wish that I was strong enough to be able to only get 3 hours of sleep a night and still perform as amazingly as he did. You know, and I would think to myself like, oh wow, maybe I should like work harder, sleep less, because then I will be like, be able to come in and be like, yeah, I got 3 hours of sleep. Like, look how cool I am. It was a kind of a glorified thing. And granted, maybe that's not the case for everybody, and especially in high school, but like, I couldn't help but everyone in the room, like no one was like, oh, that's sad. It was almost like, wow, like you probably got a lot done. Like he was the type of guy that was like definitely, you know, destined for great things in college and like got all of these amazing college offers because of his hard work. And, you know, you couldn't help but kind of correlate the lack of sleep, the hard work, to all of his success and everything. And I just remember thinking that, and I don't know why I just randomly thought about this, but, you know, it's the type of thing where, like, I have no idea, or I had no idea, still don't, have no idea what was going on in his head, how much pressure he was probably facing at home or from friends or just from himself to, you know, to be great. You know, there's all this pressure, so much pressure. And although I didn't know, you know, what was going on behind closed doors with him or even inside of his own head, I still was like, wow, you're awesome for, you know, for doing this and for working so hard to the point where you literally sleep 3 hours a night. Like, doesn't that sound crazy? And, you know, I couldn't help but wonder, like later on, like now, you know, how many greats in this world, you know, push themselves to the point of literal exhaustion and like going crazy to create things. You know, in this world where we're on Instagram, we're on social media, constantly seeing the success of other people and rarely seeing the failure. We're rarely seeing the times when people have mental breakdowns and when they just reach the point, the breaking point, you know, the point of no return where they literally are going crazy. And then they wake up the next day and then they're, you know, on social media saying like, oh, let's get this bread. You know, I hate the get this bread whole thing. I still don't understand it. Like, get this grain, or there's like so many different ways to say it. But this is literally 2018 was the year of getting the bread. You know, do people know that getting the bread a lot of times takes a lot of mental breakdowns to get the bread? You know, we're pushing ourselves oftentimes with very little sleep, very little, you know, fuel, you know, to get ourselves through, aside from like coffee and like working out excessively and putting on Instagram as well. Like it's kind of like a crazy cycle. And although I do feel like people are, you know, getting better at not just showing the highlights, kind of showing the lowlights as well. You know, people are these days, you know, I'll give us credit, you know, broadcasting the times when they aren't 100% perfect and getting the bread. Can I stop saying that? I literally should stop saying that. You know, I still feel like even though people do broadcast the lows, they're still, you know, on Instagram the next day broadcasting the highs like nothing ever happened. Or if it did, it's like, ah, I had a breakdown, but look how great I am because of the breakdown, or like after the breakdown. You know what I mean? Am I making sense here? Like, it's just baffling to me how we're kind of driven by this culture that glorifies exhaustion. And it's just crazy to me. And this whole little thought got me thinking about something else. It's like an avalanche of thought, you know, of historical people, because as you guys know, I love my historical people, especially women. They rock, paving the way. And I got to thinking about people who began, you know, and had all of this a lot of, you know, charged energy, a lot of hype, a lot of buzz, and then kind of fell off from that, you know, kind of stopped, you know, because I feel like although there probably are a million people that do this and know when to stop or like just stop because of the pressure, you know, we don't really ever hear about those people. We only hear about the highlights and the success. And one of these people that I came across was Harper Lee, who wrote To Kill a Mockingbird, which was one of my favorite books growing up. You know, when you had to, like, we were forced to read it in high school or whenever we were forced to read it, I had already read it before then. One of those. I really do love my reading and my literature. As I mentioned, I love journalism. I love all things written word. And so I obviously knew who Harper Lee was, but I actually, for some reason, never knew up until her death in 2016. 2016 is when I actually found this out, because she wrote a second book, which was actually the first draft of To Kill a Mockingbird, which, long story short, I found out that Harper Lee had only published one novel when she died. Literally when she died was when I found that out, which is something that's just so, I don't know why we were never taught that in school for some reason. Like, oh yeah, she made this amazing work that was literally worth, I don't even know how many millions of dollars, you know, and she was just, you know, done after that. She stopped until 2016 for like a lot of years. She died at the age of like 89, I believe. So for like, I don't even know, like 40, 50 years of her life, maybe more, she didn't publish another work. And, you know, at first, you know, I thought that maybe the reason why was because she was, you know, so like overwhelmed by, you know, that one first work. And she's like, you know, how could I ever make something that's better than To Kill a Mockingbird? But I was looking into some interviews with her, and, you know, it's always so funny because people, who are those people called? The interviewers or whatever, always ask the dumbest questions, or they ask questions that I'm like, why did you ask that? But a lot of the questions that were constantly asked to her when she was taking interviews, for a certain period of her life, she didn't take any interviews because she just hated the press. But she asked, or was asked, why was she so burdened by her early success? You know, is she a one-hit wonder? Did her pen freeze? People literally said in articles, her pen froze after To Kill a Mockingbird, which who knows if that's true. I mean, I know she did a lot of research for Truman Capote, which actually was her next-door neighbor growing up, and they had a huge falling out. He, you know, loved the spotlight. She very much didn't, and he was always kind of overshadowed by her success, I think. That's a whole nother narrative. But, you know, people were asking, like, why was she so burdened by her by her early success? You know, she refused to speak to journalists from 64 to 2016. And, like, you know, for 50 years, no second novel. You know, was it a fear of failure? Was it an exhaustion of the public? You know, being in the public eye? And I read this one interview that she did, which actually kind of made the most sense to me. She said, I've said all I needed to say. And that was that. That was her answer. People asked her, like, oh, why no second novel? She says, I've said all I needed to say. And, you know, people invent all these narratives about her. People invent, you know, they say that she was a recluse. Like, is that a recluse, a spider? I'm pretty sure. Like, brown recluses were all over my house in North Carolina when I lived there. Very, very creepy little spiders. But anyway, that's a whole other thing. But yeah, people said that she was a recluse. She was, you know, just scared by the public. She would just retreat and she wasn't friendly and blah, blah, blah. But then you hear contrasting interviews where, you know, her neighbors from home in Alabama, I believe she lived in Alabama her whole life, I think. Don't quote me on that. You know, said no, she was like she was just reserved. She kept to herself, like, stop making this lie that she was a recluse. And the whole reason why this kind of correlates to the burnout culture and such, like, people just wouldn't let it lie. People would not accept that Harper Lee had just said all she needed to say. They wouldn't accept that. They're like, no, like, why don't you just keep creating novels? Why don't you keep making work? You know, why did you stop? You're so great. Why did you stop? And, you know, can you blame people? Because in this culture where we're constantly moving, we're constantly creating, we're constantly exhausting ourselves to get the bread, you know, it's not normal for someone to be like, okay, I made this amazing work and now I'm done. And so that just mind boggled me. You know, she was worth $35 million. And, you know, some could say that the money was enough for her and she was like, okay, I'm just going to be done now. But I have this suspicion that she never stopped, you know, creating things, but something, or maybe like, you know, little things here and there, even if it was just, you know, scribbling something on like a napkin or something. I'm sure she kept creating, or at least kept thinking. You know, a creative person is always thinking. You know, the gears are always kind of turning, whether you want them to or not, believe me. But I think she just felt satisfied with what she did. She said, you know, put out there to the public all that she needed to. And, you know, To Kill a Mockingbird is such an, I can't even put it into words, you know, how monumental that work was and is. You know, it's still being taught today. But yeah, you know, why are we so pressured to do, to make, to constantly be exhausted? You know, Harper Lee, she got it, you know, and she lived a long life and died at the age of 89 after putting out another novel. I'll never understand, or I guess quite know why she put out the second one. Maybe she just felt like she had a little more to say and wanted something as like a final little hurrah before she died. I don't really know. She died, I believe, a year after she published the second novel. So some people say that she just had a little extra in her and she needed to, you know, just say that. And so, you know, but yeah, so we're so busy. We hardly have time to even like properly look at the people we love. You know, I was sitting around the past weekend, I was in Boston, and we were getting ready to go out. We were all sitting around, just, you know, drinking, pre-gaming, whatever. And everyone was on their phones. And that's just, it's something where it's kind of like, it's just a thing. That's just how it is. And we've actually gotten really good at dinner about putting our phones in the pile, you know, and I think that's honestly the best thing your friend group could adopt. Why am I just throwing all these stupid words out here that don't mean anything? I think it's probably the best thing that your friend group can adopt is the phone pile, and whoever takes out the phone first has to pay. You know, it's a funny little thing. And then someone's birth control alarm will go off and everyone's like, ah, okay, we're done with that after like a couple hours. But you know, we hardly have time to look at the people we love in the face while we talk to them. We hardly have enough time to look at ourselves for that matter, because, you know, when we are doing the phone pile thing at dinner and we're looking at our friends, we're talking about, you know, whatever is pertaining to all of us, and we hardly ever have time to sit alone with ourselves and really process things. And even though I like to think that I do, you know, because I live alone, I record these podcasts every week about things, and I feel like I know myself to a certain extent. I know what's bothering me. I know what's wrong with me, you know, so to speak. And even I don't think that I fully have ever really had more than maybe 30 minutes in the past couple of years to really, you know, listen to myself or be with myself. You know, even when we have this leisurely time, we don't use it to get back in touch with ourselves. We, you know, put on the TV for background noise, or we put on, you know, music and listen to songs with lyrics about all these things that we want and don't have. And, you know, we're constantly being filled with all these messages. And there's this one like advertising fact where it's like you're confronted with like millions of ads every single day, whether you know it or not. It's so true. You know, I could play like one Cardi B song and like, you know, there's just constant little things here and there that are propelling you to do something, to buy something, to be someone else. You know, there's all of these messages, and hardly ever do we sit by ourselves and truly just think and talk to ourselves or I don't even know, think or whatever, process things and think about what you want to do with this life. And even now I'm sitting here in front of my computer recording this podcast, and I have these like stupid little Google Chrome little things that pop up with like news updates, and one's up right now. It's an ad for something. I'm like, oh great, I thought I could escape it, but I can't. You know, we're not spending time with ourselves. At the end of the day, we're not spending enough time with ourselves. Okay, on that note, I'm gonna take a sip of wine. You know, it's almost as if we try to move so fast, or we do move so fast, you know, always busy, to distract ourselves, you know, from what's truly bothering us, what is going on the inside, what we want that we can't put into words, because we just decide like, oh, that's a problem for another day. Like, let's just, you know, go to work, go to school, do all these things, and it'll work itself out someday. You know, what if that day, that someday that we always, you know, have in our minds never comes? Like, what if we literally are, you know, on our deathbed, not even knowing what our favorite color is or something? I have this like recurring nightmare. You know, it's like, how do we expect other people to get us if we don't even get us? Does that make sense? Like, we have all these hopes and dreams for our significant other and our friends, you know, to know everything about us. Like, you know, I get this little like satisfaction or this like feeling of like, aw, when like my friends remember something or about me or something I said, or like, you know, a significant other remembers something. Like, it's such a gratifying little thing. But like, I say that about other people, but I don't even know things about myself half the time. Like, I think I do, but I don't. You know, exhaustion and just moving a million miles a minute, it's kind of these days worn as a badge of honor. Like, kind of like, oh, you got 3 hours of sleep. Oh, you're working really hard. Oh, it's amazing. Good for you. But like, we don't really think about what's going on underneath and how much we're struggling. And, you know, mid breakdown, we're wondering why this is happening. Like, why are we so worn out and burnt out? And why are we feeling this? You know, maybe, just maybe, it's because, you know, we're projecting all of this, you know, we're like, ah, oh, well, we'll deal with that someday. Maybe you should deal with that, you know, sooner than someday, because it'll probably prevent a lot of those breakdowns, you know. And I did some further research on, like, you know, back in, like, the way, way back times of, like, when, you know, exhaustion became so popularized. And I read in the Middle Ages, exhaustion was considered sinful. You know, it meant that you weren't mentally strong enough to live a life committed to God. So, you know, people just, you know, it wasn't as glorified. It wasn't exciting to be exhausted, you know. And then it became fashionable with, like, Kafka and Wilde and Virginia Woolf. And, like, it was, you know, a glorified thing to be so exhausted all the time and, like, you know, kind of moody and, like, you know, an artist and whatnot, you know. And I read this one article. I was doing some, like, further research on, like, other people that have talked about exhaustion and, like, what other angles I could find. And, you know, someone said in National Geographic, there was an article, and it said, I'm stressed insinuates that you're in demand. And that really, like, shook me to my core. It's true, guys. You know, when you're so tired, you know, and just overworked and burnt out, you know, as far, you know, you can be, some people do get very, like, overwhelmed by that. I get overwhelmed by that. You know, sometimes you do, but other times you're like, ah, oh, like, you get this satisfaction wave because you're like, wow, this means I'm in demand. This means that, you know, people want to spend time with me, or that people value my work, or, like, people will value my work. Like, you think that by being stressed and by being busy, it means that you're in demand. And, you know, some people crave being in demand so much. They crave either fame or just recognition for their work. And, you know, although my parents weren't, you know, necessarily really hard on me growing up, like, they were obviously how any parent should be, like, you know, having me try new things and, like, really, you know, showing me the value of hard work. My parents both came from next to nothing and really made something out of themselves. And although, you know, I don't want to say that that was what made me really, really work hard, it definitely had a factor in it. But, like, you know, I can see some people, I was reading about, you know, some great people in history that have had, like, you know, lacking home lives growing up. And that's what made them seek out this, you know, recognition and love, you know, and they think that hard work is the only way to get there. And, you know, in high school and in college, I was so dedicated to, like, everything I did, everything I touched, I needed to be the best at it. And I needed to be involved in a million things because it made me feel wanted. It made me feel like I was seen, and it kind of compensated for the things that I thought I lacked, you know. And I think it's important for us to realize that working hard, you know, working to the point of exhaustion, working to the point of burnout, isn't the same as working smart. You know, working, I don't think, is the problem. I think it's how we're working that is the problem. You know, working hard versus working smart. And came into my mind because as a business, L'Oreal, we've been really striving towards working smarter, not harder. That's been our whole concept for the past few years at the company. Not that I've been there the past few years, but I've noticed that people say it a lot, and it's a really, really awesome mentality, honestly. You know, the idea that working hard and for a long time is the only way to succeed, that is the problem. It's not the only way. You know, you got to work smart and give yourself breaks, and don't, you know, feel guilty for giving yourself a break. You know, this is a really stupid thing to admit, but, like, I sometimes wake up, like, on a Sunday and I sleep in, like, till, like, I don't know, 11. And I'm like, oh my God, I feel guilty for sleeping in. I'm constantly, like, rolling over, checking my phone, making sure I didn't miss anything, you know, or oh, I should probably get up and, like, I don't know, go do something with my day. Even if that means I go shopping, or, like, I don't know, go grocery shopping or clean my house or something. I need to do something at all times, or else I feel like I'm a deadbeat. And I think, you know, it's tough because I'm never not going to look at people who work really hard and work to the point of exhaustion and think that their work is so amazing and that I'm, you know, striving towards that work. You know, people these days who work really hard put out amazing work, guys. It's true. You know, any entrepreneur, any, you know, business owner, any person that's, you know, in the spotlight for being great, like Forbes 30 under 30, like, all of those people work very, very hard. But, you know, as much as that success is something that we look up to, and we shouldn't not look up to it, we shouldn't strive to be, you know, people that don't do anything, because, you know, at the end of the day, it is great to have goals and to have things you're constantly working towards. Like, I've said that numerous times, that I think the one thing that motivates me in, well, not the one thing, but one of the things that motivates me in life is, you know, the concept of having goals and having things that I'm constantly looking forward to and reaching, you know, working towards. And I think that's something that we should never stop doing. You know, goal setting is important, but I think, you know, in reaching those goals, we need to be conscious, you know, of the times that we're spending by ourselves and not beat ourselves up for spending time with ourselves. And if spending time with yourself, you know, for a while I kind of visualized that as being like doing yoga or something, or like meditating, which is great. And those people that do that, props to you. I don't meditate. People have always told me that I should, and I definitely don't write it off. Like, I could definitely see myself doing that someday when I have time. LOL. What an interesting concept, the fact that I don't have time, and the fact that I'm burnt out, and the fact that I'm talking about being burnt out on a podcast. Wow. Full circle. But, you know, I think there's other ways aside from meditating, aside from yoga, aside from all the spiritual, very like, you know, kind of glory, or like, what's it called? Like Instagrammable or like aesthetically pleasing ways that you can be with yourself. There's also ways you can be with yourself where it's like you're just, you know, laying in bed on a Sunday morning without your phone in your hand, just staring at the ceiling, thinking about you and thinking about, you know, I don't know, not maybe what you're going to do that day, but just what you've done, or maybe just thinking about how pretty the sky looks right now, you know, in my bedroom window. I don't know. Just, I urge you guys, I urge myself and I urge you guys to find these times to be with yourself, and don't feel guilty about it. You know, let yourself do nothing every once in a while. You know, at the end of the day, yeah, you're probably not going to Instagram story you laying in bed doing nothing. But I mean, even then you're doing something by Instagram storying, but like, let yourself have these moments. And, you know, for all I know, maybe people do have these moments. Maybe, you know, big entrepreneurs do have these moments. I didn't get a chance to look into them very much for this podcast. But, you know, I think it's the best gift that we can give ourselves is time alone, and time where we're not worrying about, you know, what's going on, like, where's the brunch today? What, you know, where should I be meeting up? What should I be wearing? Like, I know it's like kind of hard to not do that. It's hard to not think about all these things. Like, we are, you know, creatures of habit, and we're creatures of constant movement, clearly. And I feel like it's just something we need to consciously let ourselves do. And there's no amount of pretty quotes in the world that I could say that will, you know, make you guys do this and adopt this mentality. But like, it's just something that I think at some point after, you know, a million, you know, either breakdowns or moments where you're sitting by yourself, you know, or, you know, when you give yourself maybe even like 30 seconds to think, and you're like, oh my God, I'm miserable. Or like, oh my God, I'm overwhelmed to the point where I don't think I can do tomorrow. Maybe that's the moment where you decide that you're going to give yourself a break. And it's particularly hard in this day and age, especially in this post-grad climate, where I feel like after college, you kind of have to get your shit together and you get really nervous and worked up. And like, if you don't have a job for a few months, you freak out and you think that having a job is the only way you're going to be happy because you'll have money and your parents will be proud of you. And like this whole never-ending stream of like needing to make something of yourself. Like, I get that pressure. I'm living that pressure, you know, but I kind of visualize it as like a fucked up game of tug of war, you know, life, or I guess, you know, living in the sense that you give yourself breaks is kind of like tug of war. It's like, you know, when you're being pulled back, you're pulling back on the rope, and like you're winning the tug of war. It's kind of when you're recovering your energy and you're expending the energy, and the rope's being pulled away from you. You know, you're spending the energy, but then you have to pull back. You have to recover that energy. And that means, you know, giving yourself a break. I don't know if that makes any sense at all, but it's what I visualize. Sometimes my analogies don't really make sense to everyone, but it's tough because I feel like, you know, in this day and age where we put everything online, we almost need to kind of justify ourselves. Like, I feel, even personally, I feel like sometimes I need to justify myself, or like, you know, I didn't record a podcast episode last week. Oh my God, I need to tell everyone why, or like, I need to tell people why I'm taking a break from social media. Like, you can't do things these days just because you feel like it. It's almost like you need to show people like, oh, like, I'm fine, look at me, I'm still alive, don't forget about me, because you're worried people are going to forget about you, or a number of things. If you like maybe don't go to a friend outing and you just stay in, like, you're worried people are either talking about you or wondering why you're not there, to the point where they are like, oh, maybe, like, you just, your mind races, you invent all these stories, you think that all of these things are going wrong. But at the end of the day, guys, I say this so many times on podcasts, but like, people are so obsessed with themselves and what they're doing and their personal bubble of life, like the things that they do and the things that they say, that a lot of times they're not too concerned about you. yes, they're concerned about what you think of them maybe, but they might, you know, chances are they're not too concerned about why you didn't go to this outing or why you decided to spend, you know, an extra few hours in bed in the morning. People are not that much into you. Like, sorry to burst your bubble, but like, it's okay to take a break or to not go to something. There was this one quote on Tumblr I saw a while ago. It was like, no one cares if you don't go to the party. There's this like, it's like a graffiti quote. It's like all over Tumblr. You've probably seen it on your feed at some point, but like, it's true, guys. No one cares if you don't go to the party. Like, yeah, maybe even if they do care, guys, if they do care, it's like for like 20 minutes and it's oftentimes to, you know, just be a topic of conversation or to like say something that your friends are like, oh my God, let's talk about it. Let's gossip about it. It's like one 20 minute gossip sesh and then it's like, okay, whatever. But you know, one 20 minute gossip sesh, I will give that to them if it means that I can find some, you know, peace within myself, you know? I think that that is something I owe to myself. And at the end of the day, I don't give a shit about what people are saying if it means that I maybe can start to get to know myself a little bit better, you know? And so I think it's something we need to think about. And I mean, I just can't stop thinking about Harper Lee. I literally will just go to my grave thinking about her and wondering what she did for all those years. And I'm just as bad as the reporters. I want to know why she didn't make more novels. I loved her work. I wanted her to keep making work. You know, don't get me wrong. I would not have minded another Harper Lee novel to get me through my youth. But at the end of the day, like, she said all she needed to say. It's one of those things where it's like that quote, you know, hate her if she does, hate her if she doesn't, or like, fuck her if she, I don't know what the actual quote is, but you get the picture. It's like, if she would have created more work, maybe to satisfy her publisher and to satisfy the public, you know, she wouldn't have been fulfilled, but the public would have been happy, but maybe they wouldn't because they probably would have ripped it to shreds, you know, and compared to her first work, you know, but if she doesn't, what she didn't, you know, people hated her for that. It was like this whole endless cycle of, you know, you can never please everyone. You seriously can never please everyone. You know, and I think it's just a matter of, you know, if you're creating work, if you're putting things out there, if you are striving and doing and making these things, you know, whatever field it is, you know, maybe not like creating a video or creating a novel, it's, you know, working or something. If you feel unfulfilled in this work, you know, unfulfilling work, I think, is a thief of joy, you know, and I know in this society, we need to do things we don't want to do. You know, that's just a way people eventually will get where they want to be is doing some things they don't want to do. And I think that that is a part of growth. I really do. I think that you do need to start at the bottom and work your way up. And then eventually you will be doing what you want to do. Don't get me wrong. I do think that's just the way life is. But I also think that if you've done all that and you're still in this place where you feel unfulfilled, you feel that it's tough because I know how it feels at the bottom. I started on YouTube with, you know, zero views. Everyone started from zero subscribers. Now I have almost 500,000. You know, you have to start at the bottom, yes, but I, at the bottom of, you know, zero subscribers, was so charged with creative energy. I just wanted to create so much, you know, even though I was at the bottom and yeah, it kind of sucked to be talking to no one for a little while. I had all these dreams and it was purely not motivated by wanting numbers necessarily. It wasn't at all. I did not care how many people were listening and watching me. You know, at first, it definitely creeps in later on, but like, I just so wanted to do that for myself. I wanted to make those videos for myself. And now at L'Oreal, I'm working hard every day, doing it for myself because I'm genuinely learning so much. And I just feel like what I'm doing is getting me closer and closer to the woman that I eventually want to be, or that I think I actually already am. But like, I just want to keep getting better at what I love to do. Like, I mean, there's no shame in doing that. But I saw this quote, someone sent it to me, this girl named Elena. Elena, if you're listening, thank you for sending this to me via DM. If you guys ever want to send me anything that I could speak to in podcast, send it to me on Instagram. My Instagram is Katie, K-A-T-Y, Bellotti, B-E-L-L-O-T-T-E. She sent me this quote and it says, when you're creative, there is no burnout. It's only when you're competing, you get burnt out. But when it's coming from a pure place of creativity, you totally have energy for days. I don't know how like legit that quote is, but at first when I read it, I was like, okay, this is not making sense. And then I was like, okay, it does make sense. It's true, guys. Like when you, I actually don't know if I believe in like when you're creative, there's no burnout. I think you still experience burnout, or you experience a feeling or a sensation of burnout, or kind of like you're over exhausting yourself. But I do agree that, you know, when you're competing, if it's, you know, with other people, with society, with yourself, you're not feeling very fulfilled in doing that, and your work is not as fulfilling. And so Harper Lee didn't feel like competing. She made this amazing work and she was like, okay, I'm done with my books. I don't know. She was done. She said all she needed to say. And I think that's something that we need to think about. You know, she didn't feel pressured to keep creating, and that's so interesting to us. And I think I'm so interested in her story because I just can't fathom being like that myself. You know, I'm always tired. I'm always tired. But I think it's about time that maybe we shift the conversation, or maybe we don't, you know, listen to that guy in newspaper, you know, saying, oh, I got 3 hours of sleep, and say, oh my God, wow, that's amazing. Maybe we wonder and talk to that guy and ask him, you know, are you okay? You know, is everything okay? You got 3 hours of sleep, like you're working really hard. I see you physically and emotionally exhausted all the time. Do you want to talk about it? Like, is everything okay? And I think it's time we start having those conversations versus the, like, how am I going to get this bread today conversation? And, you know, I literally was walking out of the bathroom today when I was going home after work. And I saw this lady's phone case, you know, resting on the counter of the bathroom. And it said, like, hustle, or like, keep going. What's it called? Get it, don't stop. That was it. You know that song? Get it, don't stop. That was it. Her phone case said, get it, don't stop. I don't agree with that lady in the bathroom. I think that we should stop sometimes. Maybe not completely come to a screeching halt, but maybe it is time that we let ourselves have a chance to breathe. You know, pull back on that rope and let ourselves have a chance to recover our energy. You know, any athlete will tell you that they need time to recover, whether it's your, you know, your ligaments and your like legs after running, or just your mental state. You need time to recover. You need time to recharge. And I think it's about time that we stop feeling guilty for the times where we need to pull back and we need to recharge. So yeah, wow, that was, you go, Katie. That was a pretty good one. That was a good one. And I finished my whole glass of wine. So clearly I was on a roll here, but yeah, that's it, guys. I hope you all enjoyed this podcast episode. Thank you, as always, for listening and for sharing and for giving me amazing reviews. I don't really know how you leave a review. I genuinely don't know how, but thank you for those who figured it out and have been doing it. I really, really appreciate you more than you know. Thank you for, you know, not that the numbers really mean a ton, you know, everything. It means a lot, but not a ton. You know, it does mean something to me knowing that these podcasts are helping you in some way, even if it's just making you feel a little less alone in your struggles. And, you know, although I don't always have like a, you know, happy, nice little ending with like something you can really take away, it's like you still kind of feel better knowing that other people are experiencing this. So, yeah, you're not alone, no matter how much you think you are sometimes. So, yeah, that's it for tonight's episode. Hope you guys all enjoyed, and I will talk to you next week. Bye.